Good morning. Doing fine. And yourself?
I'm cool. Joe, nice to talk to you. Thanks for joining us here this morning.
Oh, you're welcome, Dave.
How did you wind up in Ireland over the St. Patrick's Day holiday?
Well, I got a call from a guy who was my boss at the time, and he says, Joe, we got a problem in Ireland. And I said, we don't have problems, we have opportunities. He said, good. Could you run a project for me for a while? So I ended up working there for almost 3 years, and that's how I met my wife, but that's another story. And my first St. Patrick's Day was a real eye-opener.
Really?
Yeah.
So
that
you,
night.
Well, what happened?
Now, well, you got to remember, with a name like Kupac, I come from a Slovak-Ukrainian family, so we really celebrated St. Patrick's Day. And so I'm in Ireland, and about a week before St. Patrick's Day, the VP of corporate development secretary calls me, and she's in a panic. She says, Joe. I said, yeah. She says, I got to get a room for Mr. Gagan for the week of March 15th. And she says, I can't find a room anywhere. I can't find a B&B. I said, that's because it's St. Patrick's Day, and it's the beginning of their tourist season. And she said, he's got a major conference for 3 days that ends on the 16th. I said, okay. I said, he'll just stay with me. I said, look, you're not going to find a hotel room. She says, that's great. So I pick Rick up at the airport. We go to the conference. We do what has to be done. At the end of it all, St. Patrick's Day comes along, and he says, Joe, can we go out and I want to do St. Patrick's Day in Dublin. I says, okay. He said, what do they do? And I said, well, they generally go to church. He said, really? I said, yeah, it's a holy day of obligation. He said, well, what do they do after that? Well, usually they go to the pub and have a pint or two. He says, okay, take me to some real Irish pubs. So we finished work at 5 o'clock, and we basically hit probably 6 old pubs in downtown Dublin. We hit, like, the International Blues Bar. We hit every pub down around Trinity College. We hit the pubs down on Grafton Street, which is kind of like a pedestrian street, like George's Street. And then at 11:30, the pubs close, and you have a half hour to wait, and then the clubs open, and he wasn't ready to finish partying. So we went over to Ballsbridge, which is where, like, the club area is of Dublin, and there's all these Georgian homes that have basements that are like huge caverns that have been turned into discos. So we basically discoed our way up this block, which was about 10 clubs. You know, we'd go into a club for about an hour, then we'd go to another club and go to another club and go to another club. And I mean, there was an entry fee for the two of us. There was the drinks, there was the food, and he put it all on his credit card. And he finishes up, and, you know, I get him home and get him in bed, and then the next morning I get him on the airplane back to the States. 2 weeks later, he calls me. He says, Joe. I said, yeah. He says, hey, Rick, how you doing? He says, what did we do on St. Patrick's Day? Said, you don't remember? He said, no. And I said, well, I named all the pubs we went to, and I named all the clubs we went to. And he said, what time did we get home? I said, about 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, did I buy drinks at every place? I said, you bought at least 2 rounds at every place. In fact, it got to the point, because I was driving, I made sure to sit us near some plants, and when he wasn't looking, my drink was going to the plant.
Yeah.
And he said, did I really buy a bottle of Dom Perignon champagne at one of those places? I said, yep, you bought a whole bottle. He says, do you know how much that bottle of champagne cost? I said, no. He said, $500.
Oh, my gosh.
He says, I just got my credit card bill. I said, uh-huh. He said, my wife is going to kill me.
Yeah, no kidding. So it's pubs and clubs, and they're kind of different.
Yes, yes. And the other thing is, if St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday or a Monday, people just basically take the whole weekend off. It becomes like one big, it's the Irish equivalent to Mardi Gras.
Right. And so,
and just generally, you'll see that there's the parade in Dublin, and there's lots of Americans in Dublin on St. Patrick's Day, and they interview them and put them on the radio, and it's really kind of fun.
All right, but it is a church day. It is a day of holy obligation, so Catholics go to church.
Exactly. In fact, what you'll see is the older generation will have a bit of shamrock into the lapel, and they go to church. And again, one of the challenges is that the in Europe in general, attendance at religious services among Christians is falling off. So, you know, there's a generation gap. And you know, the really young people, you don't see as much in church as you did 20 years ago.
Right. Joe Kupik is our guest talking about being an American and being in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day now. And Brent brought this up, and he was wagering. Here's a wager on this. Was there any green beer over in Ireland?
No, I didn't see any green beer. It was, you know, Guinness and Smittix and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, right, that's what I thought. I'm guessing they didn't diet.
Yeah.
No.
And what kind of food were they serving in the pubs? What kind of were you eating along there? What was the favored fare?
You know, the one thing I didn't see a lot of was corned beef and cabbage, which is what I was expecting. I mean, the really good pubs will do like a roast beef, or they'll do a turkey, you know, because it's for them it's kind of like the way we'd approach Thanksgiving. Turkeys are special. You only get them at Christmas or Easter. So they would, you know, people would do a turkey. The other thing is that because St. Patrick's Day sometimes falls in Lent, the local bishop will dispense the people so that they can eat meat on that day.
Ah, I see, yeah. And so everybody's singing and dancing and just basically having a good time.
Yeah, it's a fun time. The whole approach is, it is religious to begin with. And again, Dublin does not have the biggest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world. I think it's New York, Chicago, Kansas City, then Dublin.
Wow. Does everyone wear green? And if you don't, do you get pinched? Is that one of the traditions?
I don't know about the pinching thing, but people do wear the green.
Okay.
Or you'll see people with a tricolor lapel, you know, with the Irish tricolor. And I mean, it's the opening of the tourist season, so it's still cold and damp there, but they make every effort to make it as festive as possible.
Did you kiss the Blarney Stone while you were over there, Joe?
No, I was told by a good friend of my wife's when we were courting Mrs. Paul, just a delightful lady. We'd spent many Sunday afternoons at her home having tea and talking, and one day she just squeezed my arm and said, "Aye, lad, there'll be no need of you kissing that stone in Blarney Castle."
Really?
Yes.
Did she say why? Just.
We were just having fun with each other and kind of teasing each other and going along. And in the case of Blarney, at least as I understand the way the Irish approach it there, Blarney is kind of like what Kennedy said. It's the way of bringing out the best qualities in something. You're polishing, but you're embellishing properly, not necessarily going over the top.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Anything else?
Was that her way of saying that you were a little full of it, kind of, or? Is that what she was getting at?
No, my eyes are not brown.
Okay. Yeah. Joe Kupik is our guest. And so anything else stand out on your experiences or your memories of St. Patrick's Day?
Well, I think probably the nicest thing was, and there was one St. Patrick's Day where we were back in, and this was after we got married, and we spent a little time with my father-in-law. And we just, you know, in the village, there's the Dublin thing, which is the big city. In the village, we went to Mass on St. Patrick's Day morning, and we went back to the house, and he was cooking a turkey. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a turkey stuffed with mashed potatoes, rosemary, and thyme. And it was just, you know, sitting there by the coal fire, listening to the local radio station, and you know, he served this turkey dinner. And the other thing he would do is he would take his turkey out and turn it. He would take it out of the roaster with these huge tongs and flip it so that it would baste in the drippings at the bottom, and just kind of sit there. And he was burning coal, so it kind of like the end of an era where we're in this little cottage. Coal fire fireplace, which has a very interesting aroma, and we're sitting there listening to Irish news, and not necessarily Irish music, just, you know, kind of top 40 music in Ireland, which has a sprinkling of American, English, French, and Irish music. And you know, we're just kind of passing the time, enjoying each other's company and talking. Mm-hmm. You can have a full-blown alcohol-fueled wonderful time, or you can go the other route and just, and that's the other thing. People really take their holidays to go back and spend their time with family catching up.
Yeah.
And you kind of time stand still. Yeah. And that was a very wonderful day.
Yeah. Joe Kupick has been our guest talking about St. Patrick's Day as an American over in Ireland. Tomorrow morning we're going to talk to Mary about her experiences and as a little girl growing up, and it'll be a lot of fun. We look forward to speaking to her. Joe, thanks for your time, and I'll see you guys on Sunday.
You're welcome, and have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day.